welcome to Spoilers Intended, a podcast about series and films. I'm Steven, joined as always by Andrew.
Hello.
And Ryan.
Kids don't understand me and I don't know why.
Oh, he's
old man yells at the cloud.
It is accurate. He is the old man here.
So I'm laughing because as you were starting the episode and I could see over my little screen. And it looked like, because the music was playing, but I didn't see your iPad, but it looked like you were touching, like DJing.
Going through the music. He's going to drop some records.
How do you know I wasn't remixing the open?
Wiki wiki. All right. Well, if that doesn't give it away, this is an unscripted episode. And today we figured we would talk about the three true inevitabilities of life: death, taxes, and Hollywood will always learn the wrong lesson.
Hey, burn them up.
We're actually not going to talk about death or taxes. We're just going to talk about the third part.
We'll probably talk about taxes.
That'd be wild if we just start, talk about death. Let's unpack this, guys.
So let's break down when you should take the standard deduction or the itemized deduction.
Joke's on you. This is a financial podcast.
Oh, no.
Guys, do y'all have living wills? Let's talk about this.
Suddenly this becomes really difficult.
Yeah.
It's like, I just left work. Don't do this to
me. Don't do it.
But yeah, so we decided this would be a great topic because one of our listeners posted in our Discord, which is free. You can join. Hang out with us.
It's right there.
Yeah,
it's
get
right
in there. Have
shameless
fun.
Chill.
Yes, whatever. Posted an article from Variety about the, I'm just going to read the headline, the Avengers directors say Marvel's recent problems aren't due to superhero fatigue, but a big generational divide about how you consume media. So the millennials killed Olive Garden.
We killed Applebee's.
And Applebee's. Just all of those. Chili's.
And rightly so.
They're all suffering. And the Zoomers are here to kill Marvel.
Well, the Zoomers are here to just kill Hollywood, apparently.
I think they're just out for blood.
It's just like blood.
I mean, that's fine. Just burn it down.
Just burn it down.
Just get rid of it. We'll start new.
Yeah.
Start it new. I don't know.
So what did they say?
Well, so, I mean, the big takeaway here, right? So this is Joe and Anthony Russo, who directed Captain America Civil War and Avengers Endgame.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And not...
I believe they also did Infinity War.
Did they? I think it would make sense if they did
Endgame. Because I think Infinity War and Endgame are basically just, like, the same.
It's a continuation.
So I guess the article really says, for some of Marvel's biggest hits from Captain America Civil War to Avengers.
I don't know if that means
they did everything or if they did three in this set.
They did a selection of movies.
Just say the third movie, nerds.
Whatever.
So basically
this isn't a grammar podcast.
They don't necessarily believe superhero fatigue is to blame for the studio's recent struggles. Talking about Marvel had a tough 2023 with Ant-Man and the Marvels.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and they said that the current issues boil down to a change in how people absorb media and that it's a Hollywood-wide issue, not just a Marvel one.
Now, I don't actually disagree with that specific statement in a vacuum.
Ooh, so I don't disagree with the first part of the story.
Yeah.
Like, the second part is where this all falls apart.
Well, because the big thing here is that as, you know, like, as we get older and technology exists where we have streaming and all these other kind of, you know, things that are kind of, one, pulling our attention, everyone is now going through a different, you know, way to go and consume media.
Sure.
And that's just a natural thing. I mean, like, we don't go to drive-thrus or drive-ins anymore and watch movies in our cars.
Right. Yeah.
Because we have the space, we have the technology to do it.
We super should.
In an air conditioned room.
It's such a guy, but you could run your car. You just sit there.
Just waste
with
gas.
With your F-350.
God. God, can you imagine the guy that has like the big like LED bars?
Yeah. Oh, no.
For this.
This
is, it's just
this
like,
is, this is
I can't even see the screen.
It's
you're just like, you see
problem.
His muffler.
Yeah.
He's got the 56 inch tires with the lift kit. Look, honey. If you lean down onto the dash, you can see it under the car.
I have some thoughts, right?
Okay.
I feel like what they're saying isn't incorrect, but it's not the smoking gun that they are trying to attribute it to as like it's a singular issue, right? Mm-hmm. Because like, full disclosure, I work in local television. And when I first started at my current job, over a decade ago.
You're old.
Yeah, I know. We got research that was basically analyzing not just local television viewing, but just people's viewing habits, period, right? Mm-hmm. And it was like the average amount of time that a person will watch something on television back in 2010 was about 55 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
They will give you 55 minutes of their time, right? That is the average. There's some people that do more,
some people do less,
right? In 2017, that had dropped to 38 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And this past year,
good still, actually.
It's down to 24.
Oh, that's okay.
So you have 24 minutes of the average person, meaning some are more,
oh, man.
Some yeah. are less and than 25.
This is why anime has gotten so popular for me.
Yeah. This is vindication because anime is only 22-minute long episodes if you watch both ending and
This is why it's gotten so popular.
Yeah,
but another, so that's one factor of it, right? Is it like people are spending less time dialed in on one specific thing. So mm-hmm. like, in theory, hour-long prestige dramas like Game of Thrones and True Detective and things of that, Breaking Bad, are probably going to get rarer because less people are going to give you an hour of their time.
Like, I actually completely agree with that. I really dislike sitting down for an hour's worth of time just for one singular episode of a TV show. Where
it's got to be good.
It has to be incredibly good to hold, not even hold my attention, because I can sit there for 3 hours and watch a singular thing without looking at my phone or anything. But the real problem comes into is that hour's worth of my time, I could either divide that up to three episodes of anime. I could divide it up to do
playing video games.
Yeah,
you could like, be reading a book, doing any number of things,
all sorts of stuff. But so that hour of TV better be good.
Right.
Like really good.
Well, it's funny you mentioned picking up your phone, because that's the other thing of like back in 2010, around 25% of people that were watching TV had a second device near them, like a laptop, a phone, or a tablet.
It's probably what, like 85%?
It's like 92%.
Yeah. Back in 2010, was it even a tablet?
Oh, yeah. The iPad came out in, like, what?
2008?
No. The iPhone came out in 06.
Okay, so that means, 2009, 2010, I think.
Probably.
But even then, like...
Whatever. Anyway, like, the amount of... Now, and this is what's crazy, is, like, I've seen this research of, like, because you have to think of the second screen and the third screen. You can't be thinking about just...
Just one,
one thing anymore with, you know, people or whatever. My wife... I got her to watch Quantum Leap, the old Quantum Leap with Scott Bakula recently, because she didn't grow up in the 80s like I did. She was born later in the 80s, so she wasn't aware. Yeah. I've got her to watch Murder, She Wrote, Columbo, Magnum P.I. She eats it up like soup. She loves
these. So iPads were released at the start of 2010.
Okay. That was like, it's indicative, like there's a big change there. Yeah. But so she started watching that.
It's all Steve Jobs' fault.
Man, Murder, She Wrote, that brings me back.
Oh, man, that's such a good show.
Let me get to the point real quick.
No, we have to keep derailing.
I can talk about Magnum P.I. all episode.
This is unscripted, baby. Take it off the road.
You're tempting me with a conversation. So after that, she started to watch the new Quantum Leap.
Yeah.
That's on, I think, CBS or something like that. I can't remember now. Because they've rebooted
MacGyver. When did the new Quantum Leap start?
It's only on its second season, so like a couple
of years. Oh, okay. Ago. Yeah. So
it
like
just
COVID.
Got canceled.
Yeah, okay.
But she had it on, and it was that, and there was another show she's watching recently. I can't remember what it was, but it was just like, it's on in the background while she's doing other stuff, folding laundry, whatever. And I was listening to just the dialogue, right? Mm-hmm. And now writers on a lot of these network TV shows, and I want to pick just on Quantum Leap because I haven't seen enough of it to get past full judgment on the new Quantum Leap that got canceled, whatever.
Oh, I actually have a whole talking point for this.
Is that its own judgment right
there? That probably is. But when they're describing stuff, you can hear them. They have like now on this Quantum Leap, there's like a call center with like people, and they're like, we need to go to this guy's house. And the next thing it's like, that's his house. There it is. Okay. We need to go in. And it's like, it's almost like audio description of like what you should be looking at the screen to see, but you're looking down at your phone.
We don't need this exposition if you're actually watching the show.
Yeah. It's like the unsaid stuff from like Breaking Bad and like other stuff. And I noticed this with, there was a Kevin Bacon show on Fox in the early 2010s called, The Following or something like that. And I remember trying to watch it, and I had just come off of watching, I think it was like season 4 of Breaking Bad or something like really good. And it was the total opposite. Every character says what they're thinking. They describe what they're doing in detail so that if you're looking at your phone, you don't have to look up the screen to know that they're at the bad guy's house. You know what I mean?
Like, and I think that just shows, and I'm not like, I haven't seen that show that you're talking about, but I have seen Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
And the good thing about Breaking Bad is it doesn't treat its audience like they're infants.
Right. Yeah.
Like it's a lot of show don't tell, meaning that you have to pay attention to the show.
We're in danger now of walking into the territory of that Zoomers might be killing Hollywood, but the main thing is they're bad at consuming media.
Well, okay. So here's my point is that like, it's not just Zoomers. What I think's happening to like the Russo brothers' point, right? Number one, they're wrong. Quantumania and the Marvels were probably just bad movies. Make better movies, people will come see it. Like, just come on.
I mean, we'll play some numbers games.
Just like
here, just
Sony
moment,
with Morbius and Madam Web, and it's like, guys, I know you're trying to just keep the Spider-Man license, so you have legally you have to make a movie every 2 years or whatever.
Right? Have a hint of Spider-Man in there.
Oh, so
taste.
I haven't seen
the little claw of Spider-Man.
Yeah, that's what it is. I haven't seen Madam Web. And I don't think anyone did.
I don't think you need to.
But buckle up, might be some spoilers from Madam Web incoming here.
Oh,
but basically, there is a scene where the Ben Parker, a young Ben Parker, mm-hmm. and who would be Aunt May or whatever, is like talking about, or no, sorry, Mary Parker, Peter's dad, yeah, mom yeah. or whatever, are talking about naming a baby,
yeah,
and uh-huh. she's pregnant. And I think in the movie at the end, the kid is born, but you never hear the kid called Peter, but that legally, technically, Sony had Peter Parker appear in a movie.
Yep.
So they're good for another few years to keep the IP. And
that's
I'm like,
hilarious.
That's why this whole thing was made, was just that we can shoot this one scene and we're out.
What is it, the like the honest trailer video of that?
It's oh, yeah.
just incredible. Oh, holy cow.
It's coming up to Netflix pretty soon. We should just watch it. Just
commentary. Oh, yeah. Patreon. Bonus.
Okay, the point I was trying to circle around to that we can like open up is I think what is happening here with, you know, a lot of these Marvel movies and a lot of just superhero movies in general is that like they're just bad movies and people aren't going to see them. But like I think it's not just that the Zoomers have like a short attention span because they do. Like that is absolutely like,
that's not something that you can really debate.
No. Right.
Even if you just say. Is well, it
even
bad?
We have shorter yeah, like, attention
is it bad or
now?
Short? It's right. just shorter than the previous generation, which is shorter than the previous generation. Yeah. Like it's right. just a reality.
And that's just the transition of technology. So
it's,
like
it's technology, yeah. it's multitasking. Yeah. It's your like, exposure to everything. Well, the 24-hour news
well,
cycle,
I mean, like,
et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Our parents did not have computers. We had right. computers.
Well, that's not true, but okay.
Well, yeah, they did. No, well, no, they didn't.
My dad, we had a computer in the house when I was 4 or 5.
Yeah, when you were born, not when they
right.
grew up.
Oh, okay. Not when they yeah. were born. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Also, you
were, I was picture Steven being like, my parents had UNIVAC. They were feeding cards into
yeah, I was like, did they work for IBM?
You didn't actually say when they were kids. You said our parents didn't have computers. Like, what?
They were part of the space program.
My mom was texting me about an adapter for her new iPhone just yesterday.
Putting in those big punch cards. Yeah.
Oh, my dad actually did do that.
My grandfather did college. Do that. He started the computer program in Texas in 1960 something.
Yeah, like 67.
Most people didn't have a home computer.
The average household had a TV and it had 4 channels and they loved it.
It had one TV.
Right.
Yeah, one TV with 4 channels. Yeah,
like, even though my granddad was working on computers in the 60s when they took up a wall, my dad couldn't tell you which was the front part of a computer in like the 90s. Mm-hmm. So like, to your point, yes.
Okay, continue.
So what I was getting at is I think that like
can
when
we
it comes
derail
to
him again?
the attention spans people have, right? I think some of it's kind of cyclical in that like a lot of people are now trying to get away from social media. They're trying to control the amount of like time they're on.
The amount of time that I have to spend on social media just because of my business is sickening.
What was was the trend where it was like phone-free walks or something like that? Where deliberate walking or something like that. I don't know.
Deliberate walking.
Where
what
like,
are you doing? I'm walking deliberately.
Leave your phone at home and just go for a 30-minute walk and observe. And someone else is like, that's just called walking.
Yeah.
See, the problem is that, I mean, just from the walking perspective, leaving your phone at home, is if something happens, you need to have
you're
a way to contact someone.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, sure.
The real you key just is just to have the mental fortitude.
The self-discipline.
To
not take it up, yeah.
Oh, no. I am a master of ignoring notifications.
He
so
sure
to the
is.
Point that
he,
people will get very angry with
we're
me.
We're waiting for Ryan to figure out what we want for dinner, and he won't tell us if he wants pizza or Jersey Mike's for 4 hours, and Andrew and I are both just like, do we just
I
get barbecue?
I was deliberately
screwed?
Walking.
Do we just get an onion?
Yes, just a whole onion.
Just get an onion. No,
dinner tonight.
But what I think is happening too, other than onion dinner, is that when it comes to these big box office movies like the Marvels, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You compare that to something like Oppenheimer or Dune, right? I feel like the Venn diagram of people that are going to see Dune is like people that listen to our podcast, people who care about movies and TV, who like to talk about
handsome,
them. Handsome.
Smart.
Beautiful. Just
discerning.
The sexual talented. Dynamos. I'm talking.
Probably some of the most attractive people that exist.
Exactly. The peak of society, right?
Creme de la creme.
Yeah. But they like
Lay
movies.
Thick boys.
They obviously listen to this, so like they have the same appreciation we do of like, I'm going to sit and I'm going to watch a movie. I'm not going to play on my phone. I'm going to dial in. I'm going to analyze stuff. But the other part of the Venn diagram is just the average mouth-breathing moviegoer who's going to eat popcorn. It's going to fall out, flashing lights, right?
Well, it's the people that, like, I mean, like, I'll say it's like the younger generation that are like, oh, Zendaya's in this movie. Let's go see it. Or Timothy Chalamet's in this movie.
We were Timmy Chan's in this? Dude.
Yeah.
Zendaya's in this for 5 seconds. No! I sat through 2.5 hours.
You mean Timmy Shams is playing in the sand? I'll go see it.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
But, like, those people, right, like, are very fickle, and like the general like movie going populace is becoming more, I think, volatile in what they will go out to see. You know, okay, go ahead, see.
It's not that.
Show your facts.
That's not the problem. So the problem is make a decent freaking film.
We totally agree here, but the people that are going to see like the Marvels in theaters are people that have been hardline every Marvel film since 2008.
Or they're there for the memes. They're dressing up for the Minions kind of thing. My thing was like, we're talking about attention spans. Movies can get shorter. And we have also brought that up in the past. Like, some of these movies get shorter. Some of these movies have gotten a lot longer.
I would say most movies have gotten longer.
Jimmy Cams sat down and said, boys, we're going to release a movie that's a sequel to a 10-year-old film for 3 hours and 12 minutes. I'm going to make $2.4 billion.
For those that don't know Jimmy Cams personally like we do, that's James Cameron.
James Cameron, Avatar
2. Yes.
Our personal friend of the show. What's up, Jimmy Cams?
we have a whole episode that you can go listen to right now.
And the first one, too, because I think we're all pretty impressed, actually.
Yeah. More than we expected to be. More than we expected. So I think, to me, with like Marvel specifically, like to dial in, not just on Hollywood,
like the superhero fatigue,
just like
talking point.
Yeah, I don't think it's superhero fatigue so much as it's
just make a good movie.
It's not only that; it's they learned the wrong lessons from like Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, they definitely learned the wrong lessons from the success of Endgame,
Guardians of the Galaxy, and Ragnarok.
It's not even that. Specifically Guardians, because Guardians are a very
incredibly niche.
Like, it's very meta. Who are these people? Right. Well, in terms of like the Guardians comic books before the movie came out, I've read comic books my whole life. Never even seen a Guardians of the Galaxy book.
Oh, wow. Right. So I actually had exposure to the Guardians.
What a nerd.
Why? Jeez. So when they
Steven's
that,
the gatekeeper now.
When they announced that, I was like, whoa, wait, what? Whoa, they're making a...
Are y'all sure?
There's a tree in Iraq. How are they... How does this even work?
Now, if they made a Star Jammers movie, I'm there for it. And that's even more niche than the Guardians of the Galaxy. But what I'm getting at is that, like, I think they saw that and they were like, oh, cool. We can make anyone successful. And
run the formula,
and
it doesn't matter what the IP is, and that's just kind of turning out to not be true. Right.
Well, I think to that point is the reason why everyone really went hard up into the MCU and stuff like that was because up until Endgame, they had an actual plan.
Yeah.
And they had...
There was a destination.
Yeah, there was a destination to get there, and... It was clear and concise for the most part for almost every single
film.
Easy
to follow.
Very easy to follow, easy to get into. You can jump in at almost any point and still like understand kind of where everything's going.
Also, the Infinity Gauntlet itself is a multi-movie spanning MacGuffin that is an easy to track thing of like once he gets all the stones.
That's the time stone.
Yeah. Right. Oh, gosh, what's going to happen? Yeah. You know what I mean?
And whenever you, like, so then Disney saw just mountains of money come in, and they're like, oh, we can do absolutely no wrong. It's the exact same problem that they ran into after they made Force Awakens, and then they had Last Jedi, and then Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah.
And so then every subsequent movie for MCU that's happened after this has basically been mostly fine.
Maybe there's
a couple good ones in there.
Yeah,
but most of them have been just like they're fine.
They're decent for me. I think like the Marvels specifically, right, is an example of okay. we need to have a female-led superhero movie. That's what we want, right?
Totally
we
fine.
Get that out there, right?
Totally fine.
Totally fine.
Wonder Woman, great film.
Sure.
Yeah.
I think for me as an X-Men fan, where I get salty is like there are so many awesome female X-Men characters.
Oh, Storm, dude. Rogue,
Jean Grey.
Jean Grey.
Kitty Pryde. Like, Dazzler.
There's a lot. Yeah.
Jubilee.
Polaris. Wait,
no, Jubilee. Likes Jubilee.
I keep going.
She shoots little firecrackers.
She just
Jubilee, Jubilee rules.
There are world-ending powers being thrown around.
I've actually like, always Dazzler. Really liked her outfit.
Jubilee is...
Oh, she looked awesome. Oh, okay, honestly, in the original animated show, they all looked,
they all looked
phenomenal.
All looked amazing. Yeah. Yes. I need to start watching X-Men 97, by the way. Anyways,
sorry. It's great.
What I'm getting at is that, like, there are plenty of, to me, like, existing female characters that could have tapped on that have more cultural resonance and would be more recognizable.
More nostalgia, if nothing else.
Because, like, Captain Marvel, they really have tried to make her a thing in the comics since they decided. It's like Disney decided, we're going to make a Captain Marvel movie because we should have made that Black Widow movie back, you know, in mid-aughts.
Talk about one of the worst, but like, decisions.
We did that too late. So when they knew that, okay, our first one's going to be Captain Marvel, that the comic books had started using Carol Danvers and Captain Marvel more, and they've really put her at the forefront of a lot of comic stories, trying to really, like,
and now, we push. Did kind of see this with the original MCU, too, because, like, Iron Man wasn't really, like, front
he
center.
He was, like, a B-tier.
The most common
he was A-tier back in the day.
In the day,
in the 60s, 70s, and, like, 80s, Iron Man was all over the place.
But he had fallen off quite a bit.
Yeah.
Well, and that's just because, like, Iron Man is kind of like a mirror of technology, essentially.
Yeah.
Like, in, you know. That's just how it works.
You know how mirrors work. You look into it.
You see what you want to see yourself.
But to me, I think the problem with the Marvels is it was Captain Marvel, the first one, did really well because it was in between Infinity War and Endgame.
And it had it was marketed to be basically, oh, you need to see this movie before you see Endgame.
It had the pressure
if you want to collect all the
Infinity Stones, if you want to know what's going to happen, this is required reading. And now that we've moved past that point of the big climax, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we've had, because with the Marvels, you relied on essentially one film that came out at the basically peak Marvel.
And then
two
TV shows.
That didn't, up until that point, the Marvels come out, didn't necessarily have a ton of, you must see this to be connected to other things.
That is true. Yeah, because WandaVision was fantastic, but it only introduced, I can't remember her name.
Monica Rambeau?
I was trying to think of what her superhero name is. It's something to do with light or photon.
Yeah.
Photon?
But anyways, they introduced her, but she wasn't obviously like a main part of it.
She wasn't a main piece. She was just.
Yeah.
And it felt more like that
con
was
for Ms. Marvel. Ms. Marvel?
Yeah, Ms. Marvel.
And I heard that TV show was good.
It's good, but it's one of, I think, the least watched MCU shows they've had, which is unfortunate. Like, I don't know the reasoning behind a lot of that.
Part of the issue is just it needs to be strung in line with the rest of everything where you feel like there's a reason to watch. Like there needs to be a driving factor to push you to watch it.
Yeah, because like what I was getting at is like with Captain Marvel, there's not enough to lead an entire movie by herself because I don't think Brie Larson's portrayal of her is like unique enough.
It's not very compelling.
I want to see an entire movie. I'm fine seeing her in an ensemble in an Avengers style movie.
The problem with just Captain Marvel in general is she's as strong as basically Superman or, you know,
she has
a big issue with the power scaling there. Yeah. Where it's like, if nothing's really a threat,
that means that the only threat is a galaxy ending phenomenon.
Right.
Anyways,
when you have a movie that's the Marvels and it's Captain Marvel, who, you know, is like, okay, maybe people will come out and see that. But a lot of people honestly felt burned from Captain Marvel, the first movie.
Yeah.
Because again, it was a bit of a bait and switch.
Yeah.
Well, and it obviously went through a lot of reshoots because you can just see in that movie, like the tone of it, like,
it just goes everywhere. Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, there's people that are like burned by that who aren't like, I just can't wait to go see another Captain Marvel movie. Then you have two obscure side characters from two shows
that you had to dedicate 8 hours
for that to be like the movie that you're trying to bring people out for. It's like, well, no wonder it flopped.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like, and Quantumania, I just feel like the marketing for it wasn't great.
No.
Like,
and now that's another issue too, right? It's just the marketing in general. You look at like a movie like Elemental, which
had like some of the worst marketing I've ever seen.
The marketing material for it just, one, didn't make me interested in the movie at all. It didn't even market the actual core story of the film, apparently, because it's not a romance. It's an immigrant story, which is way more interesting. It's way less done to death, that's for sure.
Right.
And it just, there was nothing about it that compelled me to say, oh, that's another Pixar.
The trailer looked terrible.
Well, like, because we discussed it whenever it was coming out. I was like, do we need to go review the Marvel or Elemental? And we're all like, I mean, it doesn't look that good, so no.
It looked generic as all get out. It did not look great. And that's, I think for Quantumania, it's a mixture of the whatever they're trying to tie into this next phase is way murkier with the multiverse
stuff. At least for that one, you still had the main quote-unquote villain that out of the Loki show. You had the running connection there of like, okay, well, this is the next evolution of that. Not that I find multiverse in general compelling story-wise, because oh no, he died, he's gonna be back.
That's just a problem with comic books in general, though. That's not like you can't
kill these people hard enough, they keep coming back.
So like you can't really, I mean, like you can fault it just because that's the source material that they're pulling from, and hypothetically they could just not rip from it and then like make their own thing, but they're not going to do that. The comics already exist, and that's just a comic book problem, and we just have to live with it.
Yeah. Well, there's solutions to it. It's just the issue of, like, Spider-Man's been around since the 60s. Imagine if there was a TV show that had been on since the 60s. Like, you run out of storylines.
Yeah, it's all done.
You have to do a hard reset.
It's like a soap opera, like All My Children. It's been on for so long that it's like,
Spider-Man's the bad guy this time?
This is the eighth time this dude's had amnesia.
Did you just turn comic books into soap operas?
I did, because, like,
TV novellas.
Name another medium, though, where, like, you have a character that's been in storylines for decades.
You're not wrong at all. I mean, James Bond exists, and that's about it.
But you get, like, what? One James Bond movie every three or four years?
No, but this is the thing. Okay, so in the 70s and 80s, when Roger Moore era, we basically had a James Bond film every single year or every 2 years-ish, somewhere around there.
Yeah.
And they stopped because they're like, no one's showing up to these anymore because it's oversaturated.
Right.
No one cares anymore. So then they tried
to do Moonraker, and it kind of stunk.
It kind of wasn't good.
And then they tried to do View to a Kill, and that was even worse.
Yo, how do we make it worse? It
also, not to get into, we joked at the start of this episode that we are now a financial podcast, but the times kind of like, people have, if whether or not they actually do have less money, they certainly feel like they have less money.
Yeah, right? Sure.
Like the economy is not, to most people's impressions, what they would like it to be.
Of course not. I mean, everyone always wants to make more money than what they have.
Well, of course. And we've made the joke, right, about when we advertise for our Patreon, it's $1, which you can't even get a cup of coffee, you can't get any of those kind of things, but you can get this for $1, right? And it is a factor when it comes down to, well, how much entertainment do you get from a video game or a TV show that you're already paying for the Netflix every month, so why wouldn't you just watch what's on Netflix? Yeah. You already paid for it.
Yeah, you're like, everyone already has these subscriptions. They don't have cable anymore.
Versus, and we know, hey, the new MCU film came out. Well, it's going to hit streaming in a month or three.
Right.
And I think this is a big thing that kind of runs into with all these companies, Disney, Sony, whatever. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Like anyone who makes movies, who has historically made movies for, you know, decades now, you know, they look at the theater as a way to make money. And then they also are essentially double dipping to try and get the exact same audience to watch the same thing again on their streaming service that they're not making money on.
Right.
That they're losing money hand over fist.
Yeah, they're losing money on. But the only way to get people to watch the thing on the streaming service that they're paying money on that you are losing money with is to release the new movie so soon afterwards that there's no reason for us to go to the theater unless it is a blockbuster film like Oppenheimer, Barbie, Dune.
Yeah. Something that either demands a big screen or multiple viewings, or it's just so good.
Mm-hmm.
Which, again, you know, it's like Top Gun Maverick was one of those films I watched. It was just like, whoa, of all the things that I expected out of this is not what I thought I was going to get.
Yeah, and it shows because, like, it made a ton of money. Tom Cruise kept it out of streaming services for almost a whole year.
Oh, it was forever, about a calendar year.
Forever.
Yeah. And it worked. Paramount
Plus.
Yeah.
No, and it's, I think,
hands.
And no one watches Paramount Plus.
To my point earlier,
that's how you keep it out of streaming. Just release on Paramount Plus. But why? Because no one will watch it. They have to go to the theater or buy the DVD.
To my point earlier about mouth breathers and like the average moviegoer, I do want to retract it a little bit because, like, I do think there are a lot of people that would go see a lot, used to go see a lot of schlock in the movie theaters, just like whatever. An eighth Transformers, let's check it out.
It's so expensive now to go. Now, it's like $17 a ticket.
Audiences are more discerning.
For a couple, you get like a drink and a popcorn between you and the tickets. It's like $50.
Yeah. But like, audiences, even the general public, are way more discerning. Mm-hmm. Like, they know Oppenheimer and Barbie's going to be good. They know Dune's probably going to be good. Like, yeah. I'm going to go see that. They look at the Marvels and they go, I don't think.
Yeah, I don't need to see that.
That's yeah. But so to wrap it up, to like summarize it, right? Inflation's high. People have low attention spans and the movies stink.
Yeah.
Fix it.
Yeah, and of those three, the attention span might be the least impactful because, again, like you were saying with Dune, Oppenheimer, the Batman, an almost three-hour movie, almost hit $800 million.
Yeah, right. And it was a good movie. It was a good film. It kept your attention, well, and that is hypothetically a very boring film.
That is the big one, is that it kept your attention.
Yeah.
You have to actually construct a movie. You can't do it with a bunch of reshoots. You can't do it with a lot of what we see.
You can't do it with fixing and post.
Well, I think what you're seeing, too,
you have to string a good story together.
Is that intersection of art and commerce where so much of the phases of the Marvel movies, I think, leading up to Endgame were mostly creator-ish driven, with the exception of Edgar Wright. Like, there were some hiccups along the way not doing the Black Widow movies, right? But generally, it was like James Gunn comes on. Oh, cool. He's got a vision for
sweet.
Stuff.
Yeah. The Guardians just kills
it. The Russo brothers with the Infinity War and Endgame. Okay, they have a vision for how to wrangle all this, right? Cool.
I haven't pulled up like their IMDb, and we kind of joked about what they've done since or before. I don't totally know.
Not a ton.
But like, boy, talk about just lucking into, hey, so by the way, guys, you're going to direct two of the films that are the absolute end cap of the last decade of concerted effort from the entire studio. And then like, oh, we made a bunch of money. Yeah, we're so good. Like,
The only thing I had seen them direct before those movies was episodes of Arrested Development and Parks and Rec.
Yeah.
Both shows I love.
But so, I mean, like, and this is, I mean, I'm not even going to try and like, I don't want to tear them down, but like Endgame is a really stupid movie. It's a really great movie and it's really fun to watch and very entertaining. But if you actually like squint at any of the mechanics that are happening, it's just terrible.
Yeah. It's off the rails.
Man, they did four films in MCU.
Okay.
The
Infinity War,
Winter Soldier, Civil War, Infinity War. Oh, okay. Endgame.
See, I actually didn't really like Civil War or Winter Soldier.
I liked both. I thought they were really good.
Both of those weren't as big a box office hit.
Civil War was because that was like the first, it was like a mini Avengers.
It was a mini Avengers.
Yeah.
But Winter Soldier was not like a Thor Dark World level film, but it was really well reviewed.
It was very critically well received.
Yeah. People really liked it.
We're talking about the money here.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
but
the eyeballs, the butts in the seats.
I forgot what I was saying. I had a whole trajectory.
We got him.
Yeah, Stephen got me
Texas,
again.
Hollywood loses.
No, it was after that. It was. I was talking about.
What was I saying? We derailed him. Let's go.
The point's dead now. I don't know what I was saying, but I was trying to build
chipping away at the track. Like,
oh no! So up until Endgame, right? It felt more like there were a lot of creator-driven, and at least like there was a hand on the wheel.
It did,
creatively. Yes. And then after it feels very commerce-driven. Yes, very
absolutely.
Like, we made all this money; we can do no wrong.
Same thing with Star Wars.
They had to justify Disney Plus. We got to have TV shows on here. We got to have all this stuff that someone like Kevin Feige, who is known for kind of being the fixer of, hey, we're running along this, we can't get this together. He gets in there and works it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, now he's got 15 projects running at the same time in front of him. And it's like, well, you can only stretch one person so far.
Well, it became that thing where I think they kept expanding and expanding and expanding and expanding, thinking that the runway's infinite. You know, like, we can have as many shows as we want. People are going to eat this up like soup. And then eventually you hit the critical mass.
The runway could be infinite. It's just when the runway goes from a really nice, well-laid asphalt or concrete into just dirt and gravel. It's not a
sinkhole.
Well, I mean, like even going to just Star Wars over here, like you have like, well, I'm just going to TV shows. And, you know, obviously the first Mandalorian season, everyone ate up. Everyone loved
it. The Star Wars savior, right?
Yeah. And then you basically had, you know, four different shows that were all like, I mean, season two, Mandalorian was fine. But then you have Book of Boba Fett and Obi-Wan. And it's like, and clearly like they had like no real, you know, kind of like idea of what they wanted to do with it besides just make a show that has characters in it to get people to watch it.
Get the central pillar character of this IP on the screen.
Yeah. And then you go to Andor, which was just a phenomenal piece of work.
Yeah.
So clearly, but then no one watched it because you've already burned all the bridges getting there. So, like, make less content, make the content that you make good.
Better, yeah.
And just profit. And
stop eating, $100 million losses on, or, if your dial of disappointment, $300 million losses.
Oh, gosh. Yoy. But I think you're seeing a similar effect in, the video games industry of the same idea of, I only have so much time in the day.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you've made 10 games that are 100 hours plus, I'm only going to play one of them at most.
Well, you know what I mean? At most, I'm going to get maybe 10 hours a week.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
For a normal person,
An adult. But you look at something like Baldur's Gate 3, right, where that studio, Larian, was like, hey, we're going to make this really well, and people are going to eat it up. And people are putting hundreds of hours into that. And you're going to talk to me about attention spans?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's definitely, there are outliers, and there are going to be things like Baldur's Gate 3.
If you do it right, yeah.
If you do it right.
You're not guaranteed, again, Jimmy Cams doesn't roll in with Avatar 4, 5, and 6 in the next year
because it takes him too long to make them.
Well, he's got to develop the new technology.
He has to develop new technology.
When they go to the fire world, he has to figure out how to make people look like lava.
We're shooting the next one in space.
Oh, the movie is set in space.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like, they're not wrong in the younger generations.
They are wrong.
Do have a splintered attention span.
They do.
People in general have a much more splintered attention span.
Well, there's so much stuff coming at us that we have.
You gotta make choices. You only have so much time. You only have so much money, which when you think about it, money is time, or time is money.
Time is money.
It's the same thing at the end of the day.
No, and this is going to sound very hippy dippy, right? But my wife and I.
Time is a flat circle.
Time is a flat circle, guys.
Circle.
No, my wife and I recently went on a vacation where we just went to a cabin up in the woods. There was no internet.
Yeah. You leave your phones behind.
His phone was there.
There was a box where you
deliberate camping.
There was a box that said, leave your phone in here, check it for messages. I was deliberately walking. I was deliberately eating. I was deliberately camping. But we disconnected for four days. It wasn't even that long.
It feels great, doesn't it?
I felt incredible. At one point, I got up early. I don't get up early. That's not my speed. And I walked outside.
The sunrise.
Oh. No. Sunrises are okay. Sunsets are better. Keep sleeping.
That is so
it's not worth it.
Disagree.
So incredibly false.
Sunsets are fine. Keep sleeping. No rush on the sunset, everybody. Oh, pro tip.
The sunrise is so
nothing much happens
more
before
choice.
Noon that's worth getting up for. Let me give you that advice from Ryan right there. Just wake up late, eat. It's great.
See, the best part is we just Daffy Ducked his Bugs Bunny because he was talking about the sunset.
He did it to himself.
And then he flipped it.
I said sunsets aren't worth it. Yeah.
You did. I don't know.
That's recorded.
What I'm trying to say is if you stay on tracker,
we're here to derail.
I just walked outside at one point. And it was just listening to birds and stuff. And I was oh my gosh. I forgot because it's been probably over a decade since I've been camping or done anything that wasn't plugged in. Yeah,
we're making fun, but I definitely agree. Yeah,
It's you can make fun. It's just it was one of those moments where I was like,
lens. I sit out there and just stare at birds for 30 minutes.
Yes, you're a huge nerd. We've been over this, Steven. We all know how big of a bird nerd you are.
It's amazing how great it feels.
Bird nerd.
Anyway, good Instagram actually.
It's
follow that one.
But see, you're not disconnected. You're not deliberately bird nerding.
He's got a camera in his hand.
You've got a piece of electronic device in your hand. Do it with a film camera. No, don't do it at all.
Absolutely not.
Sketch it on a wood bark with a charcoal.
Chisel.
Yeah. Anyways, after going out there, I was like, holy cow. I just need to disconnect every now and then. Mm-hmm. And it's weird that you have to have moments like that every now and then that
Absolutely.
Remind you that we're just bombarded with stuff and especially bad movies. I don't want to go see them. Not in the theater.
No, not at all. I don't want to pay for it. I'm already paying for Netflix and Disney Plus and Hulu and what else is
And they
there?
All
what
raise their prices.
Amazon Prime, the Bees Bops.
They all, the Bees Bops raise
all
the prices.
This money for Rings of Power and Wheel of Time. Ugh.
Amazon's throwing ads at me now and I'm like, no.
Oh gosh.
Yeah, we've moved down to the all ad tiers for everything now.
Oh man. What a life.
That's brutal, man. We watched.
It's not that bad.
The worst part for me is on Hulu, especially.
Hulu's actually worse. Bad.
Hulu's like, hey, we're going to give you three ads that we're going to run for a year. It's the same three every break, every program,
10 minutes.
I don't remember. Yeah. We reviewed something that was on Hulu a long time ago now.
We're about to review something on Hulu,
yeah, too. And the first ad they hit me with was like 15 seconds. Oh, that's easy. By the time I got to the end of that film,
it was like six minutes. Like,
I know you're stuck here, nerd. Have a 5-minute ad for the third time. I was like, oh my God, Hulu, let me go. Not even 2 hours. I've been here for 2.5 hours.
See, this is getting off track, but I actually
it's unscripted.
I find it entertaining that whenever you watch, if you're watching YouTube on ads and then you don't hit the skip button, it will literally just play ads forever.
It'll run. They'll just let you go. Like, you don't want to skip this? Well, this was an 8-minute ad, but hope you had the remote somewhere handy. You weren't real comfy and it's just out of reach.
Yeah.
That's how they get you. Although we did. We watched, not to put a time period on when we're recording this, but we watched Ghost in the Shell for free on YouTube, and it was like, has ads. And they're like, here's a 15-second ad at the start, and with it, like within the last 20 minutes, they're like, here's another 15-second ad you can skip. And I was like, oh, no. Wow. I could skip it within the first 15 seconds, but it was like, okay, YouTube, this was like the lightest slap on the wrist I ever
had.
To
be fair, Ghost in the Shell is a very short film.
It's also very niche, and like, I don't know how
far. It's probably not very monetized.
Some guy smoking a cigarette in a call center is like, I don't know, give him two ads, like 15 seconds.
It's rated like TVMA or whatever. I mean, it's well out of reach.
We got to spool up that old Ghost in the Shell server somewhere around here. Just give him two ads, it's fine. He's sitting
there, like, what is that? Somebody's watching Ghost in the Shell.
We don't have any ads planned for it. I don't know what to do.
Quick, just pull whatever you can find. Okay, well, we have journeyed far and wide in this one.
Yes.
Hopefully you had fun on this journey of us basically telling the Russo brothers they're wrong. And they're going to hear about it, so, you know.
Yeah,
Russo brothers, hear about it from fans us. Of the show.
Yeah. Not anymore. Alrighty. Before we go, though, we have to hit you with our unskippable ad.
So for just $1 a month, you can get access to all of our Patreon bonus episodes, content, commentaries, and other things.
Other things,
all of it.
Indeed.
Patreon, all of it. Just
Patreon
for $1.
Picks polls. You can vote.
Yeah.
We will put up polls of things that we're going to review. They're themed. You can make a vote on it. And patrons get early access to the episode, and then it hits the main feed. So with your dollar contribution, you can help direct the course of the show.
Yeah.
Yeah. We have lots of fun times.
We have fun, just like this episode, but even wackier.
Well, and you know, they're not the same format. We have we'll do tier list. We'll fight presidents or monarchs. We'll also
rulers. The original four is rulers.
Yeah, sure. Whatever.
We're gonna go hit up the dynasties of Egypt at some point.
Oh, let's fight the pharaohs.
Let's start taking on like business CEOs. Like
that means
top.
We have to look at like what they looked like in hieroglyphics, and then
they all look the same.
I don't know.
The definition. What is this, like 15p?
The squiggles on this line are the same as the last squiggle.
Oh, the Ramses the Eighth looks fit. Alrighty, well, I do think that is more than enough time in this episode.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for listening. If you have a moment, leave us a review wherever you're listening. Share us with a friend. Until next time, I'm Steven.
I'm Andrew.
I'm Ryan.
And every, I don't know, bag on a director was intended?
We'll count it.